Last week, there was a news story about a high school senior who wears a special ear device because he was born deaf. The interesting thing about this young man is that he is the pitcher for the school's baseball team. The team's manager says that the scouts for the major leagues are constantly in the stands checking him out because evidently the young man is amazing as a pitcher and they all want to sign him up. This young pitcher says that he turns off the earpiece when he plays because he doesn't want the external noise to affect him, to take off his focus and concentration. He was asked by the reporter if he missed sort of the cheering of the crowd because he's a very good player, or their good wishes, and he said no. He said what was important to him was that he could throw the ball exactly where he wanted it. And he further said that if he listened to the external noise, he then couldn't hear the inner guidance. Now, don't we wish we could all have a little something to turn off the external noise that captures our attention, our focus, and affects us in terms of how we think, how we act, and how we feel. The external noise also influences our decision-making. It interferes with our ability to perceive and know divine spirit's guidance. This young man understands there is an inner voice and an inner light that will lead all of us to our good and our perfect good. But we must first listen and abide in the presence of God. You've all heard it many times. The Christ lives within us, and the Christ awaits our turning in the recognition that the divine of God is our heritage. It is our true state of being. John 15 tells us, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that dwelleth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Jesus shared his words with us so that we may understand our relationship with God. God is the one source of everything. In fact, he is the only source of everything. When we abide in him silently, he then is abiding in us. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we also cannot bring forth our good of ourselves. For it is the Father within who reveals all the good that is ours. He fulfills our aspirations, our dreams, and he guides us to know life everlasting. Jesus said that without the Father, we can do nothing. When we choose to go it alone, do it alone, like the branch that is cut off, that withers and dies, we then are subject to all of the ups and downs of the external world. The Random House College Dictionary defines human will as the faculty of conscious and particularly of deliberate action, the power of control that the mind has over its own actions. Which means that we have the power to choose. We have the power to choose in what direction we will take our will. We can use it in our everyday living. We can use our will according to the laws and standards of the beliefs of good and evil. Or we can use our will to let God be in our life. In other words, we can abide in God as the branch does with the vine. Our human will responds to and acts depending on our states of consciousness. We have a false impression that we are in control of our will, but in reality, it controls us. It is the thoughts that we consistently hold true, no matter how awful that may seem, that directs our will. When we are in any danger, whether it is physical, financial, potential pain and suffering, our will moves forward to try and protect us at any cost, even if it means that we may suffer more consequences. It is like a bull in a china closet, because our personal will functions from the belief that good and evil exist in our experience. Sometimes it feels that the personal will is the powerful one, knowing what's best for us. The personal will values personal freedom and will fight at any cost for us not to surrender, not even to God. Now, partly there is a fear that God's will is not what we want and that it will be imposed upon us. Many believe this explains why terrible things happen to good people. So let me first explain that God cannot impose anything on us, nor can he punish us. If he could do these things, he would not be the one good. How could God love us infinitely and hurt us at the same time? Not possible. We have to remember what we were told in Luke. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. There is no one, nothing in the whole wide world that can love us as God loves us. God's will for us is love and peace and happiness, harmony and abundance. God, as the one good, one perfect, does not make mistakes. His will is that we love one another as we care for others, seeing them for whom they really are, and not for what they appear to be, is to know the will of God. God's will is always for our highest good. The problem we face, or the lack that we experience, is from a misunderstanding of what our true relationship with God is. Now, we have to give up the belief that God is human. If we can give up judging God by human standards and human thought, it is a step in the right direction to a spiritual state of mind, which has no beginning and no end. Jesus taught us a lot. I particularly like when he multiplied the loaves and fishes. And when he did that, he said, "Then said they unto him," this is the people that he gave the loaves and fishes to, "evermore give us this bread." And then Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. For I came down from heaven not to do mine will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he had given me, I should lose not. nothing, but should raise it again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, Jesus wasn't speaking of himself. He was speaking of the Christ. It is the Christ within that raises us up. The people of Jesus' day, and even today, want God so that he can give them a better life, the loaves and the fishes. This is worshiping an error. We are of God, so the presence of God is always with us, as well as all of his attributes. Now, we should go to God not to get things, for he is not a wizard. We go to God to know the meaning of being one with divine spirit and learning how to be the vehicle for his manifestation and expression out here in the world. Jesus could do the Father's will because he would abide within consistently so that he, Jesus, could be the instrument for the Father's will to be done on earth. The will of God that was expressed through Jesus manifested as the loaves and the fishes and the healings and the water being turned into wine and a demonstration that there is no death. Even at the age of 12, the will of God as wisdom and spiritual understanding came through Jesus as he was in the temple speaking to all of the elders. The attitude that helps us understand God's will for us is to have faith and trust in the one good in the universe who knows much better what is best for us. God is the one source, the one creative source, will manifest for us that which goes beyond our imagination, our wishes, and our desires. Charles Fillmore said something very interesting. He said that God is potential unformed will. Man is manifest God will. We are here to bear witness to truth, and as God's expression for the manifestation of all that he is. Now, everyone in this sanctuary has the power to determine what kind of a relationship you want with God. If what brought you to this church is a problem or a friend or a relative, curiosity, or just to know God, it really doesn't matter. I believe it was the will of God that brought you here. And now you are here. But only you have the power to decide what steps, if any, you will take to know God and to know his will. Now, for some reason, you did listen to the inner voice because you came. Now, many people have come, but they don't stay because what they hear doesn't resonate with them. But you have stayed here. Now, I'm not just talking to the new people that have arrived recently. I'm talking to everybody here in the sanctuary. No one can do the spiritual work that we need to do on ourselves. The divine science ministers and practitioners and teachers are all here to support your spiritual unfoldment process. So take advantage of that. There are many activities in the church. They're all teaching activities. They're all about you. Sunday services, fellowship after service, formal classes, study groups, daily dawn of prayer, the alumni association activities, spiritual counseling, a bookstore and library, and Wednesday noon meditation. By the way, this past Wednesday we had really nice group of people show up for the noon meditation. Now, I'm not saying that you need to participate in all those activities. You need to participate in that which resonates with you and that you feel gives you the support and uplift to continue on your spiritual unfoldment process. Divine Science makes no demands of you to participate in anything. In fact, Divine Science doesn't even make demands of its members. In fact, to become a member of the church is of no benefit. Actually, it's only a benefit to the individual, because now they get a chance to have a voice in who is the minister and who represents them on the board. And if they want to be on the board sometime in the future, now they have the ability to do that. You have dominion over your life, how you think, how you feel, what you accept as real and as true. But always remember that you have divine wisdom within you, and it is God's will that comes through, leading you so that you may know who you truly are and have a relationship with God. He has never left you. He is with you, always with you. So let us develop a listening attitude as we turn within to be still and quiet. The will of God is for each of us to return to His paradise and His kingdom, where we will live in eternity with our Father. And so it is. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? Let us turn within to the secret place of the Most High, where nothing of the world can enter. We sit quietly and silently by the door of the temple of God with a listening attitude, waiting to hear God utter His word. It is in silent prayer where the answers come. The invisible substance comes through our still minds, manifesting a blessing that there will not be room enough to hold. The presence of God is here and now, always with us, pouring His love and peace and wisdom. And turning within to the secret place of the Most High, we rest and we dwell with our Father. It is His will that is revealed, and in our obedience, we experience His glory, His joy, and eternal happiness. Scripture tells us, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Turn to the Father and be still and quiet. Father, we are ever grateful for Your presence, for the awareness of this, Your spiritual understanding, and Your will leading us to Your kingdom. We give You thanks, and we say, Amen. The Spirit of God blesses you and keeps you. He shines His light upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness, and He gives you His kingdom. Amen. down.